I'm Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio with Health Focus here at the Medical University of South Carolina studio in Charleston. Nearly 15% of critically ill patients have to be transferred elsewhere for specialized testing or specialized care at some point during their hospital stay. To talk about what goes on when a critical care patient needs to be transported is Dr. Susan Wilcox. She's the medical director for MeduCare Ground Transport Service and the medical director for emergency teams at MUSC. Dr. Wilcox, what are some of the typical medical emergencies that require critical care transport?
One of the things to understand is that critical care transport is different than what people traditionally think of as being EMS. So when you call 911, you get an EMS response with EMTs, paramedics, who come to the scene, and they have really two jobs. They have to provide life-saving care immediately and get patients to the hospital as quickly as possible. What a critical care transport team does is pick up patients who are already in the hospital and take them to another hospital to get that specialized treatment or care that you were talking about.
And what are some of the typical illnesses or situations that require a critical care person being moved?
Patients often have to come to a tertiary care center from their local hospital for things that they can't get at the local hospital, like transplant evaluations. If they have severe respiratory failure and they need additional therapies or treatments, some surgical procedures, especially like neurosurgical procedures, some high-level obstetrics care, these services are only offered at tertiary care centers or academic medical centers. And so the patients need to be transported to get that care.
Can you tell us a bit about the professionals or the team members that are involved in this kind of critical care transport?
Critical care transport is often done with a nurse and paramedic team. The nurses who work on these transports often have extensive experience, either working in an ICU or working in the emergency department previous to taking on this role. Many of them work at least 5 years clinically before even starting on the critical care transport team. Our critical care paramedics are paramedics who, again, similarly have extensive experience working often in the EMS system, and then go on and have additional training and additional education to get their critical care paramedic certification.
And once a critical care patient arrives at the receiving hospital, what typically goes on there in terms of just that exchange?
That's a great point. There has to be a very sophisticated handoff between this team that's been taking the care of this patient, often for a couple of hours at that point, and letting the team receiving the patient know. They give handoff to the nurses, to the physicians, tell them about what happened in transport, how stable the patient was, what procedures they received.
Are there any future plans related to critical care transport in our state?
One of the things that's really exciting right now is that we are developing a critical care task force in the state of South Carolina to improve the transport of these critically ill patients. So a group of representatives from across the state are meeting and coming up with protocols, standards of care, training requirements to make sure that when we do have these very sick patients who are going to another hospital for tertiary care, they're all receiving the same level of care, the same level of excellence across the state.
Dr. Wilcox, thank you for providing this information about critical care transport.
You're welcome.
From the Medical University of South Carolina studio in Charleston, I'm Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio.